Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here in New York City. I'm home. And the weather sucks. It's really cloudy. It's sticky. It's funny because I'm going to Colorado next week. And the funny thing is I'm thinking, oh, Colorado, it's going to be nice, cool. And then I just look to see what the weather's going to be in Palisades, Colorado. And right now, it's like 92 degrees. So I'm going from hot to hotter, maybe. Hopefully, it'll cool off. But anyway, let's get back to what's going on here. Well, I decided to do travel on North Dakota. And everybody said, you know, girl, you're going on a press trip to North Dakota. What in the heck is in North Dakota? Well, I didn't really say what the heck, but, you know. And so we went, actually, the press trip was from Fargo to Medora. So we went from one end to the other. And, of course, everybody's welcome to go to my website and read the articles. But we're going to have some of the guests of some of the places on this evening or today or however it is on your part there. So, like the Fargo Theater, and we got the National Buffalo Museum. We have Pitchfork Steak Fondue, and we have the Bully Pulpit Golf Course. Yeah, what do you hear? The talk about a golf course. Talk about a sand trap. Well, this is a lot more than a sand trap, believe me. Not that I played. No, I didn't play. I just rode around on a golf cart. That's it. That was enough for me. And let's see. And we have, now this is going to be even more interesting. This is the first time I'm doing this. There's a company, it's called Chi Shu Fang Peking Opera. And I think it might be Miss Chi herself, or Mrs. Chi, or Miss Chi, who will be calling in to talk about this particular type of opera, which involves more than just singing. She's the star of this, and she also does martial arts in the show. And I able to see a little preview, and I'll be going to a show next month. But the interesting part about this whole thing is we're going to have two people on. One will be Ms. Chi, and the other will be a translator, because Ms. Chi is much better at speaking Chinese than she is of speaking English. So we're going to do this going back and forth. I'll ask a bunch of questions. I'll get translated and come up on the air. And, hey, this way people in China can tune on to the show here and say, oh, I don't even have to translate into English. They'll say that in Chinese, of course. And so that's what we're doing. Just little things to update on. It looks like Chubby Checker, yes, Chubby Checker is on tour, and I'm going to see him next week in Manhattan. This should be a hoot. goodness gracious, you know, like, I'm getting old, man. I have to get, I'm going to have to, like, find some of the new music to play for you guys, you know. I'll see what I can do. And, well, okay, so, well, you know what time it is now. It's time. Oh, and before I do break for the first commercial, that's the other thing that's coming up. Well, that I'll be telling you about. I think we had the guy on there about these wonderful mushrooms. They're organically grown mushrooms, really, really gourmet. And their company is going to be in New York next week. And I will be mushrooming out, I guess, to check it out. I don't know if they'll make anything right then and there, but I'll be able to take some home and cook up a storm. So let's see which, you know, I don't know which, where's Mallory's almost coming in. Mallory, what, she doesn't want to say anything. Mallory, don't push.
Are you ready for some football?
You know. I don't know what it is about her. She just, I guess she got, you know, she's hooked on the sharks as well. I keep telling her, leave the button alone. But, okay. So, let's see. Should we do my favorite commercial? Well, we got to do it. I have to do a food one. You know I have to do a food one. So, which food one should we do? Should I be, okay. You know, which one? It's got to be the brownies. It just has to be, you know. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yeah, and that's at brownies.com. So let's see. Well, as we're waiting for my first caller, I did get some, you know, how I got people emailing me stuff on the internet, and there was one, I have some very sick friends, you know, like me, you know what I mean by, you know, you understand, but there was one, let's see if I can get this one, someone said, it says, Bear Country Warning Wax, I gotta tell you this one, it says, Bear Country Warning, let me bring this up here. Okay, let's open it up. I thought this was kind of funny. It says, due to the frequency of human-bear encounters, the BC Fish and Wildlife Branch is advising hikers, hunters, fishermen, and any persons that use the outdoors in a recreational or work-related function to take extra precautions while in the field. We advise the outdoorsmen to wear little noisy bells on clothing so as to give advance warning to any bears that might be close by so you don't take them by surprise. We also advise anyone using the out of doors to carry pepper spray with him in case of any encounter with a bear. Outdoorsmen should also be on the watch for fresh bear activity and be able to tell the difference between black bear faces and grizzly bear faces. Black bear faces is smaller and contains lots of berries and squirrel fur. Grizzly bear shit has bells in it and smells like pepper. I thought that was quite cute. It's not going to be in my book, though. My book is going to be printed soon. The book is entitled Merle's Worlds. It's a humorous life. So let's get back here and let's see. Did Okay, so let's get my callers on now. We got
this
them
is Dave.
On. Yes, well, I got Dave. And do I
yes,
also?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I have somebody else too, don't I? Wait. I'll click this.
Mm-hmm.
That. Okay.
Hello. This is Wade.
Hi, Wade. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so let's talk about, first we have to explain, first about what pitchfork steak fondue.
As the name implies, it's definitely a unique dining experience for people that come out here to Medora, North Dakota. We have ribeye steaks that we put on the tines of a pitchfork, about 10 steaks that we can fit on there. And then we dip them in a huge vat of hot oil, and that sears the steak. It keeps all the juices inside, and you end up with this delicious, tender steak. And we serve it with all the fixings overlooking the North Dakota Badlands, and it really makes for quite a unique dining experience.
When I went, that was really good. I must say that's an interesting way of cooking. Why do you think they're like other places don't do that? I mean, why is that great that they do?
Right. You know, there are a few limited places I think that do something similar. Our former president of our foundation of the Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation had been doing some traveling probably a good 30 years ago or so, and had seen something similar to this and thought it would be a great fit for Medora. And through the years, it's just only built. Back in 1997, they built a terrace. So when folks are dining at the Pitchfork Steak Fondue, they are still overlooking the Badlands in an outdoor setting, but there is a protective covering from wind and from the elements. But it's kind of gotten to be a refined process. We're able to serve a great deal amount of people in a short amount of time. An average attendance for the fondue during the summer is probably right around 500 people a night.
Wow.
Serving anywhere from like 300 people to 1,000 people within the span of about 45 minutes.
Wow. Now, when you're getting the steak, are you saying, you know, how you like it? Medium well, or anything, or just
all of the steaks are cooked to certain specifications. I believe it's a medium that most of the steaks are done. Medium well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I guess I would imagine it's like, you know, I mean, if you have a steak that's cooked properly and it's well done, you know, you're not going to lose anything because it's well done. I think people, for some reason or other, think that if a steak is well done, it's dry.
And these are the goal of the chefs at the Pitchfork Fondue is to cook all of them at about medium.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's some that might end up being a little bit more, or so folks can say, oh, I don't like too much pink in my steak. So a lot of times they're able to accommodate those folks as well.
Oh, okay. What are the fixins, by the way?
Well, a baked potato, baked beans, various salads, some fruit salad, and coleslaw, and garlic toast, some huge pitchfork steak fondue brownies, and lemonade and coffee and that type of thing. And then cast members from our Medora musical, they provide dinner music for folks while they're waiting in line and enjoying their steak.
Right, the Medora musical. Well, before I get to that, what's the price of this for the steaks? I'm, you know.
Well, we have a couple different options. For a 12-ounce ribeye, that's $24.50, and for a 9-ounce New York strip, that's $20.
Okay.
And then if there's some folks that are vegetarian or aren't up for a full steak, they can get the buffet only as well for $13.
Somehow, I don't know, going to a place like that's called Pitchfork Steak Fondue, and as a vegetarian, I think like that's
right. But you might have one person that really loves steak, and their spouse or significant other maybe maybe isn't into as much of a steak eater. So we do provide that option.
Yeah, I could just say, oh, no, I'll have the pound of coleslaw instead. Have a pound of coleslaw and a couple of potatoes.
Right.
And I'll let you take the steak and just put it past my nose and sniff it. That's it.
Right.
You know, but so tell me about the Medora musical.
Right, right. That's it's a professionally produced show. It's produced out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the producer searches throughout the country, sees about 2,500 performers, and narrows it down to and selects 20 people for the cast every year. There's a Burning Hill Singers who do high energy song and dance routines. There's a 6-piece band that's on stage that has new and old style country music. The show's new every year, but kind of follows a similar format with new and old style country music. There's some clog dancing in the show. There's always a gospel section. We always have a patriotic finale. And since this was an area that Theodore Roosevelt loved, he had 2 cattle ranches in the area. We have a portion that's dedicated to Theodore Roosevelt as well every year.
Oh, good old Teddy.
Right, right. Bully. Bully, right.
Yeah, bully. But there's no plot to this show, is there? Is there any, like, little subplot?
Well, sometimes there's just a little bit of a plot, but it's a lot of great high-energy singing and dancing. That's kind of the driving force behind the show. And then we also have some national specialty acts. There might be jugglers or comedians, various types of featured acts that also appear throughout the summer as part of the show.
Do you get some of the acts from that reality show, you know, Who's Got Talent?
There was a juggling duo, Brothers from Different Mothers. They had appeared on America's Got Talent. And and they were actually here this summer, earlier this summer.
That's cool. What did they, I mean, did they do anything specific? Or were they singers? I didn't see that.
They were jugglers, and so they had
they were
and kind of a comic juggling routine. They were great. The crowds loved them, and it adds a nice variety to our show, mixing that up with some comedy and the singing and dancing.
So that just shows, even if you lose on these reality shows, you can still get booked sometimes. you just absolutely never know where people, you know, where people want you anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Now, is there with? Do you do a combination of, like, you know, dinner and a show?
Right. We have a variety of packages that are available. One of the popular ones is a bunkhouse special where you get lodging overnight in Medora for 2 people, and you get 2 steak dinners at the Pitchfork Steak Fondue, and then 2 tickets to the musical. That's a very common one that we have priced now at $159. So. For very reasonably.
$159 what, per person per night, or how is that?
No, it's $159 for both people plus tax, and
so
that's during the
overnight. You have dinner and you have a show.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. A great deal for folks to come out here to the Badlands of North Dakota.
Is there any particular hotel that they get to stay at? I remember being there and
right. That's at the bunkhouse, and then we also have and then we also have a package for the Badlands Motel. And if folks are interested in staying at the historic Rough Riders Hotel, you can combine create a package with the fondue and the Medora musical as well, and book a variety of attractions together. We kind of do a where you can build your own type of package.
Well, where's the one that the so-called Teddy Roosevelt comes out on the balcony? Which one?
Right,
hotel
right.
Is
that? That's the Rough Riders Hotel.
That's Rough Riders. Okay.
Yep.
I remember that. You know, and I always remember standing there, like, you know, trying to get a photo, and him turning to me and telling me not to take any photos, trying to do it in the style of Teddy Roosevelt. You know, I'm going. Is he talking to me? Are you talking to me? So before we get to some other things in Medora, I want to now talk about, this is, I have to tell you, I mean, I'm not a golfer, but this is like got to be like the weirdest golf course I've ever seen. Is it? Is it the weirdest?
Interestingly, that you call it the weirdest. I would call it the most unique.
Okay.
the Badlands of North Dakota is such a unique place, and I think it really sets up for a neat or unique place to play golf. The golf course is cut into the Badlands of North Dakota. It's very rugged here, although a lot of the golf holes venture down onto the river bottom, the Little Missouri River bottom, and some of the holes then venture on up into the Badlands and go from the top of one butte to the top of another butte, and kind of sets up some of those Russell-type themed paintings that you see around. Very unique golf experience.
Yeah, you could definitely lose your balls there.
Or it could be weird. Yeah, and you can lose your
certainly
ball if
you lose
hit
your
it
balls
up
there. Yeah, I mean, talk about sand traps. I mean, this is like these are what would you call it, canyon traps?
Well, you know, we do have a few holes with a number of what we call bunkers or sand traps, and. You know, if you get into one, you know, it's just another one of those shots that challenge the golfer, so that, you know, the golf course is not just a pushover by any means. You know,
sure.
The architect is Dr. Michael Herdzen, and Dr. Herdzen has done some very unique stuff throughout the United States and Canada, and we feel that this is, and a lot of people feel that this is some of his best work.
What would you say is the most difficult hole?
Well, you know, we claim that hole number 14, which is a 404-yard par 4 from the tips or the back tees to the green, as being one of the most difficult. But we have, you know, several holes that can be challenging, yet each hole is set up with five sets of tees. So It really offers an opportunity for every skill set within the game to enjoy golf.
Yeah.
But number 14 is probably our most challenging, and more so just because, you know, the hole is cut right up into the Badlands between some long buttes. The fairway runs parallel with some long buttes, and then it's an elevated green, and then the green has some very challenging contours. So to put, you know, four precise shots together to get the ball in the hole, this hole we feel is the most challenging, if you will. Although there are several holes on the golf course that offer a very unique challenge.
And how long does the average person take to get around this the golf?
Well, you know, we've had people play this golf course all 18 holes in 3 hours. Yet, you know, on a busy day with people just out enjoying the scenery and the game of golf combined, you know, it'll go 5 hours. But a lot of that is not due just to the difficulty or the challenge of the layout or the course itself. It's because of all the scenery. People get out here and they just become awestruck, and the camera's out on every hole and they're taking pictures of everything. You know, one of the things that I say is, you know, in today's golf industry, good customer service is a given, or it should be a given. And what really sets you apart, I believe, today is the experience people have when they're playing. And truly at Bully Pulpit, with the setting with which it sits, it truly offers an experience. You saw it, Merle, when you were here. I mean,
oh,
was,
yeah.
You know, it's nothing like any place you've ever been. So
no, definitely.
It's so unique that, you know, when people get up on you know, and even when you're on the river bottom holes, you got the Badlands as backdrops to these holes that kind of sets up, you know, just this breathtaking awe of each shot that you're taking. And then when you venture on up into the Badland holes, all of a sudden you can see for miles and miles of just this rugged terrain, And it's different. You know, it's different than any other place on the planet, if you ask me. So it creates a very unique golf experience. And I think that is why Bully Pulpit has become so successful, is the customer service is a given, great customer service, but it's that experience that goes along with that sets this golf course apart.
Yeah, the name Badlands, where did that come from? I mean, they're not bad.
No. Well, they're so rugged.
Bad.
I'm sure when the settlers or Lewis and Clark, you know, when those early people came through exploring this great nation, you know, when they got here, they were probably just scratching their head going, how are we going to get our wagon over there? You know, we need to go that way. So, it's truly rugged terrain. So, you know, if you, for example, if your listeners went to www.medora.com and you looked it up, you'd see some really neat photography of what this area has to offer. And also on that website is some great photography of the golf course itself.
Oh, cool. Now, I want to get into a little bit about Medora itself, and first I have to extend an apology to, I see I have a caller coming on, and I have to, from the Fargo Theater, but that's okay. I just want to let you know, Margie, that I do know that you're there, and, you know, like, hang on a little while, because, you know, well, I want to get into Medora a little bit, and then I'll click on to you, and you'll be on the air. So anyway, so let's get back. So tell me a little, you know, tell us a bit about Medora.
Sure. The Medora itself is this year is celebrating its 125th anniversary, and has kind of a unique startup to it. It was founded by a French nobleman, and he had married the daughter of a successful banker in New York, Medora von Hoffman, and came out to this area with a grand scheme of raising his cattle here, having a huge cattle herd, and building a slaughtering plant. His thought was to graze the cattle here, slaughter them, and ship them out east on iced railway cars. And so he came out here to the town of Little, Missouri, and it was kind of a rough and tough town. He went across the Little Missouri River and founded his own town on the other side of the river and named it after his wife, Medora, back in 1883, and built a cattle empire. And after several years, that took some hard times. There was a tough blizzard in 1886 and 87, and he ended up leaving the area, but we're left with the town of Medora. At that same time, the young Theodore Roosevelt, came out to this area wanting to experience the last of the Old West and go on a buffalo hunt. So in the fall of 1883, he came out to this area, fell in love with it, and ended up having two cattle ranches near Medora. And he had made the comment, if it hadn't been for his time spent in North Dakota, he never would have become president. So this area, this both the landscape and the people here had a great impact on him, a positive impact.
So what are the other attractions that are in Medora that people could see?
Well, the Marquis de Mores, when he was here, he built a 26-room, he called it a hunting lodge, but we call it the Chateau now. That's run by the State Historical Society, has a brand-new interpretive center there. The North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame is here in Medora. It tells a wonderful story of the horse culture of the Northern Plains, both the Native American ranching and rodeo history of this area. There's a number of other museums. Theodore Roosevelt National Park is one of the big attractions here. There's a wonderful 36-mile loop drive that goes through the national park where folks can see bison, prairie dogs, wild horses, elk, a couple of varieties of deer, and they've got a great museum there, a Theodore Roosevelt Museum. Theodore Roosevelt's original Maltese Cross Ranch Cabin is right at the park entrance. And so there's a lot of history, a lot of culture, and you know, when you take a look at the various things that Medora has to offer, there's a lot of unique outdoor experiences. You have the outdoor Medora musical, which is performed in this beautiful amphitheater out in the Badlands. You have the Pitchfork Steak Fondue, that's you dine outdoors in the Badlands. The Bully Pulpit Golf Course, where you get to experience the Badlands firsthand, and hiking and sightseeing in Theodore Roosevelt National Park. All these very unique experiences that that are in this beautiful setting.
So how far is Medora from Bismarck, which Bismarck is the capital, I believe?
Right, right.
Okay.
Bismarck's about in the center of North Dakota, and it's a two-hour drive, all interstate, about 2 hours west of Bismarck. Medora itself is about 25 miles from the Montana-North Dakota border.
Okay.
And it's just located right off of Interstate 94.
Well, fabulous. Well, I appreciate the two of you coming on to pitch your fork on Medora. I now have to get to the other end where Fargo is.
Great.
And so again, so it's just people go to medora.com and
and they can call 1-800. They can call 1-800-MEDORA-1, or like you said, go to medora.com.
Okay. I thank you very much, Wade and David.
Thank you, Mary.
And maybe I'll get back at this sometime again. Who knows?
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Let's... do I got you on there? Okay. Wait. All right, Margie, do I have you?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's Margie.
Yeah. Okay. So now now that we've talked about holes and balls, I guess we're going to talk about organs now.
Exactly. If we want to get physical here.
Yeah, I really fooled around with that organ over
yes,
there.
Yes. Okay.
And I was there. That's one of the biggest organs I've seen.
Absolutely, positively.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about, what this whole thing about the Fargo Theater. Oh, and I have to comment. When I was there, I believe they were showing the movie Fargo.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
So it was.
When was that? I can't remember when you were there.
It was, I think, 2004, I believe.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It may have been one of the times when we were doing it as a special event sort of thing. So, yeah, and needless to say, whenever we have touring groups from out of town, they want to see the movie Fargo in the Fargo theater. So the Fargo kind of thing. So,
right.
Yeah, exactly. But Mighty Wurlitzer basically is the heartbeat of the Fargo Theater, as I refer to it, and it's a four-manual, state-of-the-art, just totally beautiful rebuilt console, which is a replica of the Radio City Music Hall console. But all of the infrastructure for the Mighty Wurlitzer basically is the original infrastructure, and they've added to that. But the pipes and all of the things that make it a Mighty Wurlitzer, including terrain whistles and bird sounds and all kinds of percussion, are live, and they're real. And so they are actually in the bowels, or actually, in this case, they're up in the chambers of the organ chambers at the theater. So we do all of this historic stuff, which is really wonderful, and then we do cutting edge contemporary independent film. So it's kind of schizophrenic, but it's a wonderful place to be.
So the theater is strictly movies, or do you do any?
We do live events as
live.
Well. Absolutely, we do. I would say probably 300 nights of film. And 64 nights of live events. And actually, that dynamic is going to change a little bit because we are currently adding a 78-seat second screen theater, right, that will be attached to the Fargo Theater. We'll be able to move film product over into that theater when we're doing live events, so it doesn't interrupt our run. And when we're not doing a live event, we can just add film product. So first and foremost, and always, the Fargo Theater has been a film house. It started out as a vaudeville and silent film house, and through the 60s was the main, A movie house. And so basically film has been part of the essence of the Fargo Theater for forever, for its entire existence.
Do you tend to purposely show silent movies just so somebody could play the organ?
You know what we do? Well, we try to incorporate the organ into our mainstream programming. So, in other words, on weekends we have an organist in the theater who plays before our mainstream or our first run film, and we only actually do a silent film with the Mighty Wurlitzer in terms of a public event once a year, and that's in October. We do a silent movie night.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
But other than that, we use the Mighty Wurlitzer all kinds of times. For rentals and for special events, and it literally is used very, very frequently, and we are so fortunate to have the American Theater Organ Society that plays the organ and also maintains it.
Now, I'm sure that you've, how long have you been in Fargo, by the way?
I've been in Fargo since 1976. I've been involved with the Fargo Theater. I joined the board in 92. Set up the whole $3 million sort of renovation campaign as a volunteer, and signed on as the development director in 96 and as the executive director in 97.
Well, since you've been around for that long, maybe you can clue my audience in into as to what else there is to do in Fargo except the theater.
Wow. I'll tell you what, downtown Fargo is in a revitalization mode that you absolutely cannot believe. I would say when the theater reopened its doors after a 10-month hiatus for renovation between 1998 and 99, we were kind of in what I would call not a slum, but it was a little bit desolate. In 2000, we established a Renaissance Zone, or shortly after that, and since then, residential capacity, retail capacity, all kinds of things have developed and emerged, and there's a huge synergy going on where we have independent retail, independent restaurants. It's just a great place to be in downtown Fargo. It's really terrific. It's a huge revitalization.
And, as far as attractions, I don't have,
attractions, yeah. Are things like Monty's Restaurant, new emerging Silver Moon. Hodo is an upscale luxury hotel and has a restaurant and a bar and a wonderful dining room attached to that. We have Old Broadway, which is a longstanding restaurant in the downtown area. So lots of things that are unique. So they're not part of chains. Well, I guess one of my goals has always been to kind of keep the chains out. And it's not that I'm opposed to chain things, but
downtown really
has become kind of the hotbed of everything that is unique and kind of a magnet because of that.
Yeah, I thought that. And there are some places that are just outside of Fargo that the attractions, right?
Absolutely. Dumper Road. I don't know. There are things that you can do that are on the periphery of Fargo, as well as major shopping centers and that kind of thing. My greatest experience and my greatest love and my passion is for the downtown area primarily.
Yeah, but you're also now I kind of remember you're near Minnesota, right?
We are. We are very near Minnesota. We are just across the river, and so Moorhead, again, is sort of our sister city. Sometimes we think we're part of the state of Minnesota, but Moorhead has great academic community in Concordia College, which is a small liberal arts college, and Minnesota State University Moorhead, which is part of the Minnesota University system, and they have probably a student population of about 7,000. I think the student population at Concordia Lutheran College is probably a couple of thousand and maybe a little bit more than that. And so the academic community is really important to the Fargo-Moorhead area and certainly to the downtown. We, at any given time, have about 20,000 college students matriculating through the Fargo-Moorhead area.
Okay. And I know having gone, from Fargo all the way across, I remember something about that there was a Lewis and Clark riverboat. That's not near Fargo, is it?
Yeah, Lewis and Clark is, you know, the trail kind of comes through here. We have the Red River that comes through Fargo.
Okay.
And so Lewis and Clark would be on the western fringe. So that's more a western Dakota, North Dakota activity. The Red River runs right between Fargo and Moorhead and goes up to Winnipeg, and that has a lot of history and a lot of action along the Red River, a lot of action in terms of flooding, which was a pretty significant thing in 1997. But the other thing that it's done is really connect us as a corridor to Winnipeg, which has been terrific.
That's great. You're saying there's revitalization even right now of Fargo?
I mean, absolutely, and in fact since 2000. Because we have a renaissance zone, it means that there were lots of tax credits that are given for developers to develop not only residential capacity, which really drives downtown and you know, an urban revival, but gives tax credits to things like small entertainment places, small restaurants. We're becoming kind of an entertainment industry, lots of synergy just in the downtown area. And with the emergence of downtown campuses, NDSU, by the fall of 2009, will have 4,000 students and faculty matriculating right in the downtown area. Two specific downtown campuses, one the College of Art and Architecture, an expansion of the College of Art, and then also a brand new College of Business Agriculture College of Business will be in the downtown area.
Now, is the major airport near there in Minnesota or in?
It's in Fargo. It's called
in Fargo.
Hector International. Yeah,
okay.
So it's not the Fargo International Airport. It's called Hector International Airport, and yes, it is in Fargo.
Okay. And as far as is there a website that people can go on to check out Fargo?
Absolutely. There are tons of websites about Fargo, so you can kind of just Google Fargo. The Fargo Theater website is www.fargotheater.org. There's a website called fargostuff.com, which is wonderful. You can get all the quirky, wonderful Fargo memorabilia kinds of things. And then the City of Fargo also has a website, and you can just Google that and figure out what the actual email address is for that.
Sure.
But, yeah, tons of really easily available access.
Okay. I know I have some photos from way back when of playing with the organ
it's a magnificent instrument.
Yes.
It really is. In fact, we had a noon organ concert, which we do every Thursday in August,
uh-huh.
And then we had a tour right after that, and then I had a live remote because we're doing a classic film festival next week at the Fargo Theater, which will include Preludes on the Mighty Wurlitzer. So it is used frequently at the Fargo Theater. So we're this interesting mix of cutting-edge contemporary film with this wonderful history in a historic building and this wonderful historic instrument.
Great. Fabulous. Well, I absolutely appreciate your coming on and chatting with us about, by the way, for people just to know, theater is theatre.
Exactly. The British way.
The British way.
We're very upscale here in Fargo, contrary to popular belief.
Okay, so people can go to fargotheatre.org.
Yep, absolutely.
Right?
And then we have a film festival, so you can check our film festival website, and that's fargofilmfestival.com.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much, Marge, for
my pleasure.
For coming on the show. And have a great evening, and hopefully
I'll
get back out there. I'll find out when there's the next press trip going to North Dakota.
We would love to have you back out here, and I think that you will be amazed. We have a huge
yes.
development in our parking lot, all kinds of things going on, so you have to come and see us again.
Great. I hope so.
And your listeners as well.
Okay. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
And
my pleasure.
Again.
Bye.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break before we talk about the National Buffalo Museum. So let's see which one. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra legroom.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Felicia, isn't that really cute?
That's great.
I always laugh at that. I have to ask them if they have any more commercials like that. I think that's just really good. All right, Felicia. Yes, Felicia Sargent. She's the director of the National Buffalo Museum. So my audience can get a sense of location, where is it in reference to Fargo and Bismarck, Medora?
Oh, that's the wonderful, that's the wonderful part of the museum. We are exactly 100 miles from everywhere. We are 100 miles, we're 100 miles from Fargo. We're 100 miles from Bismarck. If you head south from Jamestown, you end up in Aberdeen, South Dakota, in 100 miles. And if you go north from Jamestown, you end up in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, at 100 miles.
Okay. So tell my audience what's so unique about the National Buffalo Museum.
Well, I guess there's a couple of things. One, the National Buffalo Museum is located in Jamestown, North Dakota, which is known as the Buffalo City. And it's been known as the Buffalo City, one, because of a 60-ton concrete buffalo that stands 26 feet tall and 46 feet long. And that was built in 1959. And then moved forward from 59 to 1991, I had some very forward-thinking gentlemen who saw that we had cattle grazing below that world's largest buffalo, and they didn't seem to think that that was quite the right thing to be grazing below there. So in 1991, five buffalo were moved from Theodore Roosevelt National Park right here in North Dakota and put into that pasture. And from there, in June of 1993, the National Buffalo Museum opened. And it houses a lot of Native American artifacts, artwork, goes through the history of the buffalo. We do house the Buffalo Hall of Fame, which were all of the people that were very instrumental in bringing those. We went from 60 million buffalo down to like 800. I mean, the buffalo were almost totally wiped out. And those 800 buffalo were preserved, and so we have the Buffalo Hall of Fame that houses that. And then the other aspect of things that makes us unique is that we also have a live buffalo herd. And there's 200 acres for about 30 buffalo to roam around in. And within that herd, we have the only living albino buffalo. There have been other buffalo born white, but they've changed colors or not true albinos. But we have what are now the only three albino buffalo in the world.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I guess to be correct, if we really want to do this all correct,
yeah. We
do not have buffalo in North America. A true buffalo is a Cape buffalo or a water buffalo that lives in Asia. So what we have walking around here is a bison, American bison, and the scientific name is bison, bison, bison. However, both names have been used interchangeably for so many years that, buffalo is very common, and that's what we think of. But if you're in Asia and you talk about eating a buffalo burger, that might horrify some of them.
Uh-huh. So in other words, when they talk about buffalo mozzarella, it's really
mm-hmm.
not from a buffalo. It's from a bison.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. That's correct. So, we're very unique here where we're at.
I'm getting this picture in my mind. The Buffalo Hall of Fame is like, having these buffalo come by and being inducted and.
It's actually pictures like of Theodore Roosevelt. And there's a gentleman in there that was inducted in last year that was instrumental in reintroducing buffalo back up into Canada.
And so those few people, like I say, when you took nearly 60 million buffalo, and they were hunted and taken down to less than 1,000, about 800 is what they estimated, they preserved those animals. And so there was a few people that were instrumental in that. And so there's plaques and pictures of those people as opposed to those 800
right.
buffalo.
Yeah. somehow I can't, you know, I'm picturing this whole bunch of buffalo, like, sitting around and voting for who's going to be inducted, and I don't think that's what it's
nope,
really
nope.
about.
Yep, nope, not
yep.
quite.
Now, isn't there, I seem to remember there's this huge buffalo statue?
Yes, the world's largest buffalo, yes. And that's the 60-ton concrete buffalo that we have there that's, 26 feet tall and 46 feet long.
Wow. Yeah, I still, that's some memory I have. I'm not even
yes,
looking at I'm not even looking at photos. This is 4 years ago.
It's very memorable to remember a 60-ton
yeah.
concrete buffalo.
Now, let me see if I'm right. I also seem to be getting a flashback. You said there are artisans there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I remember like there's like two like I don't say like rows, like two sides. That's like a almost like a street. And
yes, the Frontier Village is what you're referring to.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And in the Frontier Village, from area towns, you know, different buildings have been moved to the Frontier Village in Jamestown. So, like, the oldest grocery store in the entire state, that store was moved to the Frontier Village. You know, there's a church, there's an old schoolhouse, quite a variety of things. So what people can do when they to North Dakota, and they get to Jamestown, it's kind of a walk through time. You know, you can see the old one-room schoolhouse and one of the old churches and those types of things, and go into the grocery store, which is set up exactly the way it would have been, and they serve ice cream and that type of thing. So you can sit in there and get that feel of, you know, picking up a five-cent piece of candy and those types of things.
Yeah, I do remember. I think there was an author there.
Yes, Louis L'Amour is from
yes.
Jamestown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, he is from Jamestown and lived here until his teenage years. And so we have it's called the Louis L'Amour Writer's Shack. And in that, there's a gentleman actually who was very good friends with Louis L'Amour. He's in his 90s. And he sits in there throughout the summer from 10 to 1 and greets people and talks about Louis L'Amour. In fact, he's written a book titled Remembering Louis L'Amour. It's a little more personal look at the author Louis L'Amour. And for those people who know who Louis L'Amour is and have read his books, I mean, there is a strong following of those people who have read those books. There, you know, there's a couple of places in town where they can – I have many people who come in the museum and say, I've read all of Louis L'Amour's books except – well, I can send them to a pharmacy in town, and they can get except because they carry all of those books. So.
Right. Yeah. Now, in Jamestown, are there any other like attractions or something? In that
sure.
Area?
Yeah. You know, within town, of course, we've got the Frontier Village is a kind of a complex, which the National Buffalo Museum is in. You know, you have to go through the gates to go into there.
Right.
From there, you know, we have Fort Seward, which is a historic fort where they protected the town early on. There is, of course, the Stutzman County Museum downtown, one of the oldest buildings in town where people can go and visit and see some historic sites of Jamestown. Jamestown's also unique in that we also have a basilica in town, very old basilica that people can go to and visit. It is open on a daily basis, as well as an arts center. It's very active in bringing things to Jamestown and even to North Dakota that may not stop anywhere else in North Dakota. Several years ago, they brought a Japanese bamboo orchestra to North Dakota. It was stopping nowhere else in the United States. The really unique thing about that is that while the bamboo orchestra from Japan was there, they were also doing an artist residency in the schools with Keith Baer, a well-known Native American here in North Dakota who does builds his own flutes. The flautist, I guess, from the Bamboo Orchestra and Keith Baer traded flutes And so a real neat cross-cultural thing happening there. And in the main concert that the Japanese orchestra did, the flautist played Keith Bear's flute in that orchestra. So it was really a neat experience, and one of those things that you won't get to see, you know, many other places.
Now, I also seem to remember when going across from Fargo to Medora, there were these not statues. They were, you know what I'm saying? There were these structures.
Oh, you're supposed to be talking about like the Enchanted Highway, the metal structures.
Yes.
So once you leave Jamestown, you head 100 miles west, and you hit Bismarck, which is the state capital of North Dakota. And then another 60 miles or so, you get to a place where you would turn south off of the interstate, and along that highway are many different metal sculptures. The one that's along the highway, I believe, is a sunrise scene with Canada geese flying. And then if you go on down the highway, there's a large grasshopper made out of metal, and in quite a few different just things that are representative of what you might see in North Dakota, of course, greatly enlarged and done in metal.
Right. Now, also, now when people are going to, like, if they want to really get into like Lewis and Clark, I know there were a couple of places that you can, you know, go to. Was it a museum or something?
Yes. When you travel to Bismarck, you get to the Missouri River in Bismarck, and that is, of course, where Lewis and Clark traveled through North Dakota, was on the Missouri River. And just north of there, Clark Center in Fort Mann, and Lewis and Clark spent more time in North Dakota than on the entire route, because they spent two winters in North Dakota. They spent a winter here going out and then coming back. So Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center has a lot of information and those types of things about Lewis and Clark. And, of course, the fort where Lewis and Clark spent the winter is also available for people to go to once they, you know, they purchase admission tickets, and they can go to both Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center as well as the fort. And then they travel on through the rest of North Dakota and into Montana, along the Missouri River, and see that route that Lewis and Clark took while they were here.
Cool. That's great. Mm-hmm. I think you're going out of the zone a little bit. I'm hearing a little clicking, fading.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. I understand. You're on your cell phone. It's okay.
I am. And I'm sitting on a cabin, you know, in a lake here, you know. I'm trying to sit real still here.
No, that's okay. All right, I'm going to let you go back. I know you're in the middle of a meeting, huh?
Yes, I was. I was in the middle of a board meeting, but it was fun to be able to say, you know, hold on a minute, guys. I have to call New York so that I can talk on a radio.
Well, actually, you're not. I don't know with the numbers, this phone number that you're calling, and it's interesting because a 646 area code happens to be Manhattan phone numbers.
Oh, really?
It just happens to be, and this is just something I happen to have, and I'm not sure, the way this Blog Talk Radio works in terms of the call-in numbers, and it could be that maybe they break them up into, like, areas, so that the area maybe, you know, the east area or something, or northeast area gets a 646 number. But you call, yeah, well, you can say you're calling it to New York, but actually you can let everybody know that this is archived.
Ah.
And they'll be able to listen to it, and they'll be happy to hear you say such nice things about the Buffaloes.
Yes, good. Yes,
or they say, or they say in Italy is the buffalo.
Sure. Well, we certainly invite people to North Dakota. Much like you mentioned, you come here, you don't know what to expect, but leave overwhelmed with what you find and what you see. It is the middle of. I am in shorts and a tank top. I don't have a park on. There is not snow on the ground. You know, we're not in
there. Right.
There's a common misconception. You know, it's North Dakota. It's cold. you know, that kind of thing. And it's a lot of people come with very low expectations and leave amazed at what they see, the hospitality, you know, just coming here and visiting, you know, and staying in a...
What's the temperature like where you are?
It's 80 right now.
Okay. And just curious, in the beginning of November, is it going to be very cold? Or?
In the beginning of November would be, you know, we'd be getting down into down into freezing at night.
Okay.
That, you know, at that point we would, where the smaller, the wetlands and the ponds would be freezing up. You know, the lakes, some of the lakes would probably still be open,
mm-hmm.
That type of thing. But by December, we might have 2 to 3 feet of ice on the lakes where people would actually start the ice that they would be doing up here. You know, yes, you get to the times where you get 20 below, you know, temperatures, and then wind chills of, you know, 40 or 50 below,
right.
But... when you get to those kinds of temperatures, it doesn't, you know, 60 below, 20 below, you know, it's the same. You need to dress appropriately and, you
right.
know, and just know that, you know, like in the wintertime, you carry a winter survival kit with you in your vehicle. Because if you would get stranded at 20 below, yeah,
right.
you know, kind of thing. So, you know, spring comes a little later, fall comes a little earlier, but, you know, summertime... the really nice thing about summertime here is sunrise is 5 o'clock in the morning. Sunset may not be 10 o'clock at the longest days. So you've got a lot of daylight in the summertime, and that type. Of, you know, it's not even near sunset right now here. And of course, it's 7 o'clock here. I would say sunset's probably about 8:30, quarter 9 now. So,
right.
It's very very nice summers here, and even falls and springs. So you have to be prepared for the
sure.
wind. You know,
well, I guess
you know, the wind.
Yeah, I guess people can go to like NorthDakota.com or something, and you know, to get across everything. You know, to see.
Oh yes.
What?
Yep.
But as far as the National Buffalo Museum, what's the website for that?
Ours is it's very easy. You can either do www.nationalbuffalomuseum or Buffalo Museum, because we figure a lot of people leave and they go, oh, you know, we went to the Buffalo Museum. And
right.
so we got both domain names. So it's Buffalo Museum or National Buffalo Museum, either one.
.com.
Mm-hmm. .com,
okay.
correct.
As opposed to .org or .net.
Yep, we're
yeah.
.com. We got
okay.
smart.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Felicia.
Well, thank you.
Say hello to the rest of the board members for me.
I sure will.
And, you know, if anybody wants to, also they could read the article. They go on my website. And you can search out the article that I did
mm-hmm.
on North Dakota, and
good.
I'm sure I have enough about the Buffalo Museum in that too.
Oh, good, good. Well,
right.
we appreciate it.
Sure. All right. So have a great evening.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And maybe I'll see you.
Oh, that would be great. We'll the doors will be open.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay, so now I don't want to take a break. Now I'm kind of waiting. Let's see if I can do this. We want to talk about the Qi Shu Fang opera, and I see one phone number. Do I have Ms. Chi on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. Okay. Now,
yeah.
I know you. There was supposed to be an interpreter.
Yeah. Daddy. Yeah. You hold on.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Cecilia, did you call it?
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for... your interpreter to call in. What was her name?
The Cecilia.
Yeah, no, I don't. She hasn't called in yet.
Yeah, Cecilia's number is. Do you know the Cecilia the number?
No, I don't have her number. She's a. She has to call this phone number. I can't call her.
I
told her that. You know
what? Call her.
Yeah. Do you want to call her and then, you know, tell her to call in?
Yeah.
Okay. You call her. Tell her to call in, and then call me back. In the meantime, I'll just play some music.
Okay.
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 All right. Talk to you in a little while.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We want to get the interpreter calling in at the same time. So let's take a break. I need to take a break. Okay. What piece of music? What am I in the mood for? Oh, I know what I like. Let's do. Let's see. Nah, not Titanic. Here we go. Here we go. Now we have both of you on. Good. Okay, I'll ask the questions. We'll hear it in Chinese, and then we'll get the answers. How's that?
All right, let's give it a try.
Okay, let's give it a try. Well, we want to start, of course, about who Chi is, or as you say, Miss Chi?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to know, so my audience will know, what is it that you do? I'm a Peking opera actor. I'm a Chinese Peking opera actress. Okay, so my audience understands it's not just singing that she does. That's why I want to tell my audience like what else that she does that makes her special.
Should I elaborate on that first, or
ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Chinese opera Peking opera is the essence of Chinese culture, and unlike Western opera, it doesn't just focus on singing. It combines singing, acting, acrobat, poetry, everything. It's like an all consummated art that is so different from any other art form. It's the most consummate performing art form.
Now, except that in this particular thing, the thing that makes it different is her doing martial arts. Is that, that adds to it?
我是每次，其实我是他想知道那个京剧是是什么，而且你做的是什么，我就跟他解释是因为又唱又做这个呀，然后他想知道你做的是什么，京剧是复合艺术，对，我就是那样，有唱有念有做有答有表演，有翻跟头，中国的国剧，哎，我刚才就是这样讲，那你就是这四样都做的，我从小就是。
学以武功，特长，而且我的嗓子很好，我就又文又武，又能唱又能舞蹈又能打，又能翻。
What makes her so special is that what she was saying is that she is the one who she can sing and she can do the martial arts, and that's unusual in Chinese opera because usually one is specializes in one particular form. And in her case, ever since she was a child. She started learning martial arts like in a very, very young age, and she has a great voice.
So now, and she started doing this at what age?
你几多岁开始学的?
我是12岁.
12.
At 12. So, and who did she, now, did she learn to sing and the martial arts and all that? Did she learn this from someone in particular?
你的老师就是你跟谁学的？我的嫂嫂学的，我嫂嫂是中国最著名的演员。She studied with her sister-in-law, who was a very, very renowned Chinese opera martial arts actress.
And did she find, for instance, I mean, it's not common, I would imagine, to have a woman doing this type of thing. Did she find that, like, you know, meeting problems, like facing problems with somebody saying, like, you shouldn't do this or things like that?
Oh, did you say whether she learned it from a woman or whether the fact that she was a woman?
No, the fact that she was a woman. Did people, like, say, you know, say to her, you shouldn't do this because you're a woman?
那你有没有人跟你说你是个女的，你不应该学这种东西的？
那我们中国女的女孩子女演员很多，那希望我们都能培养成又文又武的全面的人才。就是你从来都没有，他的意思是他问的就是说你没有遇到有人跟你讲的，你不应该学这个的，你是个女的，那个没有哈？No，没有，我们希望我们这样。而且你家里都是学的嘛，就是你嫂子对。我们都是女人子弟嘛。
No, nobody has encountered any obstacle because, number one, there were women actresses who were always there on the Chinese stage. It's actually, they always existed, and they wanted to, like, cultivate more, you know, especially those who can do both the singing and the martial arts. In her particular case, she came from a theatrical family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her family, her brother was, and so, like, you know, that's what she learned from her the sister-in-law. So she came from a family that already have actors, you know, in the family.
Now, the show that she's putting on presently, did she put this show together, and when did she start doing this?
You talk about the women generals, right?
Yeah.
他想知道那个杨门女将是不是你们自己做出来的，是的话是几时开始做？那个是本来就有的戏，对的。啊，这是60年北京中国京剧院他们排的是这个戏，我们上海京剧院去学习，我们学完以后我们就到香港，到那个英国、法国都去演出过。对，可是这个戏本来是不是就有了？本来就有。
对不对？我们在加工，在改编，改的好了。那个故事本来就有嘛。The story has always been the story is an old story in the Chinese tradition, and it's a traditional opera that has like existed for a while. But in 1960, the Beijing Opera Company had did a tremendous revival and a big reform. And then she, on behalf of the Shanghai Opera Company. They went to Beijing and they studied that, and then they took the show on tours, and it has been a huge success. The show went to Europe, many countries.
Now, just so my audience knows what the story is, can you describe what the plot of the story is?
Yes. Let me just ask you to confirm it, but I think I can.
他像你讲一讲这个故事的里面的故事，这个这出戏是我们民族就是宣扬我们的中国的妇女地位，她是一个爱国的女将啊女英雄，这是我们民族英雄。那么这个戏呢，就是表现我们中国的女英雄打败这个侵略者这个故事是这样的。 那么他这个故事你应该晓得的，因为他的丈夫战死以后，他为父报仇，为国家解决困难，就是把这场战争制止了。Well,
this story, the young family, this particular opera highlights the hero, like the strength and the courage of Chinese heroines. And in this particular story, it's about young. One of the young family has been fighting for the country for many, many years, and all their sons have been lost in the war. And the last son, all got killed in the war. So the women just got together, and then they decided to avenge for their husband and for the country. And so they took on and the commandership and went in and fight the enemies.
Now, the story itself, is this historic or is this made up?
Ah, okay. 杨文女将这个故事是真的是假的，是历史上是真的是不是啊？
历史上有这个杨家这个英雄，他这一门忠勇，宋朝的时候杨家将是很有名的，这历史上有这个情节。是历史上是有的，对不对？Yeah.
No, actually, the young family is based on history. So this is almost like a Shakespearean opera, right?
Okay.
Like a Shakespeare uses history as his sources, and then make it into a play.
So and now when people are coming to see the show itself. I mean, I know, like, if I go to an opera, let's say it's in Italian, and I see translations. Will there be translations in this?
Yes, there will be. Performed in Chinese, but there will be English subtitles. So the audience will have no problems following it. And I just wanted to add that
sure.
The Chinese opera is so colorful that, and this particular show is just so spectacular in terms of the acrobatics and the costumes to see it, and all that like colors. The audience are just going to have a really, really fantastic time enjoying the show. They won't have any trouble following the story.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, I of course, because it's the radio, nobody could see the photo.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like it's so difficult. But this is a very exciting show because this is a rarely performed full-length opera. This is a company of over 50, you know, on stage, backstage to put the show on. It's a really super show.
So it's coming to New York. I understand we have it's going to be at the K Playhouse at Hunter College on September. What? I don't see it yet. Wait. What's the date?
几多号啊？在那个 K 齐老师表演的几多号？你说杨门女将？哎，杨门女将是。
我们在03年，
不是，他说你是在 K Playhouse 9月几号？我没有那个东西在前面。你说是现在的演出啊？哎，现在的演出。我们现在演出在9月21号啊，下午。September 21st.
Okay, September 21st.
Because I don't have it in front of me either. Yeah.
还有一场10月5号。
Okay. No,
and that's going to be at the Cape Playhouse, and then October 5th is going to be at the New York NYU School Board Center.
Right. Okay. I'll be able to, when I do the article for the Queen's Times, of course, I'll get this out there. But I understand there's also another event at the Flushing Town Hall, I believe. Is that the...
Flushing Town Hall 是什么东西来的？是不是也是在演？我们的青年演员在台湾是很好演出。
Flushing Town Hall, that's on October 26th.
I just looked at an email. Right, and this is performed by the younger company of the Chisufan Peking Art Company. It's like, so this is like a chance for the younger performance to shine on stage.
Okay, so just as my audience understands, how long has, and do we call her Miss Chi? Is that how we, how long has Miss Chi been performing opera?
你演戏演了多少年了，齐老师？
我演戏啊，我从10岁开始练吧， 12岁是虚岁啊， 开始练到一直到现在， 也有50多年了吧。
It's over 50 years.
16岁我就出名了嘛，梅兰芳就看我的戏，是吧？现在也有50多年了。It's
been over 50 years. She grew to she was like vaulted like to immediate fame at 16 years old when the grandmaster Mei Lanfang discovered her almost and saw her at Mei Lanfang is the number one most famous Chinese opera actor, also a female impersonator, and he was the one who has come over to United States in 1930s and just introduced Chinese opera to America as well as to many countries. And he saw Miss Chi at a competition and awarded her the first prize and just said that, wow, we are having an heir to carry the tradition on.
Okay. But unless I'm mixing something, has anything been done at Radio City Music Hall?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. Now I remember seeing something and I don't remember what.
Let me just double check with him. 你们没有在 Radio City Music Hall 有演过吗?
你说七点后啊?
你们以前一直在来的美国这里有没有在 Radio City Music Hall? 好像我没有看见过。我们03年级的，我们那个杨幂将在百老汇纽维托尔这个剧场演出。对对对，这个在那个symphony
space，还在那个KC，也不是，嗯，No,
we have to like they have performed in many different venues, including the Madison Square Garden, but not at the Radio City Music Hall.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the shows. Now, if people want to get some more information, I believe they should go to Qi, which is QISHUFANG.com. Am I correct?
That's right. It's www.QISHUFANG.com. Qi Su Fan.
Okay, and actually, Qi is not her first name, just so people understand, right?
That's right. That's why we call her Miss Chi. Yeah, it's Chi. Yeah.
Yeah, because I understand that in Chinese, the last name goes first.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, great. Is there anything else like that you want to talk about or to say that that hasn't been said?
Well, I just wanted to personally add that I have seen a lot of Chinese operas, but none as spectacular as this particular one because of just you don't even get to see a show like this in China because it's very costly. Just too many people on stage. It's like a Broadway show.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to schedule another radio show after I see the show.
Oh,
and then
good.
We're gonna talk about this way I can describe it from seeing it and then to encourage people. Since this is not something that's local,
that would be fantastic. And then we can hear your response to it, and then you will have more questions. That would be fantastic. And if the audience wants to call in with questions, that would be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to set up. I'm going to ask, you know, people if they want to call in or email me with questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be fabulous. Also, tell Ms. Chi, I'm looking forward to coming over to try her cuisine.
Okay. 齐老师他说他要来看你的戏，看完戏之后呢，他会再做一个另外一个访问。
他说他有会来你家里吃饭，是不是？你请他讲。你就告诉他，他说他要试你做的菜。对，你就告诉他，我们这个戏非常好看，服装，化妆，而且呢，很多女的舞蹈说是百老汇的，他们都非常欢喜。我们现在二十周年，今年二十周年在美国，所以我们又演了这个戏，请他希望观众都去看。
Just wanted to add that this also happens to be our 20th anniversary of being in America.
Oh.
Yeah, we have been in America for, like, she has been in America for 20 years and to establish this company. And that's why this is a big birthday celebration with this most, like, colorful, spectacular show, you know. She said that we hope that the audience will really come and support the show, and that she wants you to, particularly, to hope that you will enjoy the show.
Oh yeah, I have a feeling just from seeing the part of this DVD that this is my kind of show.
Yes. Good. All right.
Yes. So I appreciate you calling in and. We'll talk after the show is over.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I got a
question. Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Everybody. My phone was doing its beeping sound, and which meant that the battery was going, so now I have it on speaker, so... I'm looking forward to going to this. This is real cool. So let's see. It looks like I got like 3 minutes left of the show. Barbara, I know you're listening. Call me after the show so we can talk about something that's going on in the future or maybe not going on in the future. I didn't have enough food stuff to make you hungry. I hope you ate. I'm gonna go and eat. I don't have any more brownies left. I don't know what I'm gonna do. So, but an hour and a half has passed, and I'm feeling a little weak, and I need to have some food more than for thought. But I have to say, everybody would be proud of the fact that. As it turns out that Miss Chi lives in my neighborhood, and this is why I went over there, and I had decided to walk, and I realized afterwards that going back and forth to her house was I walked at least 2 miles. So, yep. Yep, I need to do that walking. So I'm going to leave you all, and have a good day, evening. And next week I'll be talking to everybody from Colorado, Palisades, Colorado. So where's my cat? Where's my cat?
Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone. I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.